The Kumeyaay Nation was once a vast territory spanning the U.S.-Mexico border. For thousands of years, Native peoples lived close to the land and learned to use indigenous plants for food, clothing, protection, and medicine. Some of that knowledge has been lost to time, but a surprising amount of it has been preserved in the memory of elders, and now in a new book. Anthropologist Michael Wilkin Robertson is the author of Kumeyaay Ethnobotany, Shared Heritage of the Californias. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Maureen. It's great to be here.
Could you start off by describing what ethnobotany is and what it tells us?
I think the easiest way to understand ethnobotany is that it's the study of plants and people and their interactions, because it's not just people interacting with plants. Plants also use people in many different ways. So we want to understand that interaction.
So how do plants use people?
Well, for example, if plants can make themselves attractive to humans or other animals, they can help expand the area, the extension of the area where they live by moving seeds or parts of plants. So plants have a long history of using humans to for their own purposes, too.
Now, tell us more about the range of territory that Kumeyaay people once inhabited.
Well, the Kumeyaay territory traditionally extended from Escondido in the north, from that area, say, we're talking maybe 300 years ago, down to around Santo Tomas in what's now Baja California, and east to the deserts, according to some versions, out to the Colorado River. So it was a huge territory. And right smack in the middle of that, only about a couple hundred years ago, an international border was slapped in between those two halves of the Kumeyaay region.
Now, what you're talking about is a wide range of geography and really sort of different climates. There must have been a huge number of indigenous plants that the Kumeyaay people were familiar with.
Yeah. You know, California is one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. So what's interesting about this territory is from north to south, there's a lot of similarities. Say, from Escondido down to Santo Tomas, you have beautiful coastal areas and ecosystems that are adapted to the coast. But then as you head east from those areas and you start going inland through inland valleys and foothills and then up to the mountains and down to the desert, you have all these different ecosystems, and each one has a different type of plant or vegetation in them. So the native people were moving throughout that territory in the course of a year, and they had to know every single part of it, every plant, every animal, the climate, the soils, everything about it. And with that knowledge, they were able to live very successfully in this land.
Were there some primary plants that the Kumeyaay depended on?
Well, often we hear that acorns were the staple of Kumeyaay people, but it's really much more complicated than that. You know, there are years when acorns or pine nuts, things like that, that were traditional foods, simply don't provide a very good harvest. And so people really had to know every different possible plant that could be used for food or for medicine or whatever they needed. So I would say there's not really just one plant. What was really amazing to me to learn in the research I've been doing is how much knowledge there is of so many different types of plants.
And it's not just for food or medicine. There are pictures in your book of agave nets, native peoples using the agave plant, the little strings of the agave plant, to make nets and baskets.
Yeah, the agave plant is a real powerhouse. It's something that we just see today as, a plant with sharp needles that we want to keep our distance from. But agaves in Baja California grow from the coast all the way over to the desert, and they can be used for food. But also, as you mentioned, the fibers in the agave are really strong, long-lasting fibers that have been used for making cordage, to make carrying nets, to make fishing nets, to make hunting nets, or bowstrings, things like that. And they're such long-lasting fibers that archaeologists have found examples of agave fiber cordage in caves or in excavations that are 9,000 years old. So I think that helps us put into perspective the time depth of Native people's knowledge of this land, how far back that goes. When you think about Many of our ancestors only having been here 100 or 200 years, that's very little time compared to the thousands of years that Kumeyaay people have been tending this land.
Now, you did most of your research in Baja California. Why was that?
I have a long family tradition in Baja California, so my grandparents lived there, and from the time I was a kid, I was going down there, and my grandfather would take us out as he was writing a book on the missions of Baja California, and he had met the Paipai Indians and introduced me to them from the time I was a kid. And so eventually I got to do some research in the Paipai community and worked with potters and plant specialists there. And so that just kind of spiraled into getting to know more and more of the different native people, the Kumeyaay, the Kukapa, the Kiliwa Indians down there. And I got more and more involved in activism and advocacy work, which helped build a lot of trust and long-term friendships with members of the communities down there.
Do elders in the communities down there carry on the ancient traditions?
Yeah, there are a lot of elders that still know an amazing amount of the traditional knowledge of their environments and oral tradition, technology like basketry, pottery, agave fiber, things like that. And thankfully, there are some of the middle-aged and younger folks that are also learning those things. Not a whole lot, but a few. So that's the good part.
How do you think your research benefits the present-day Kumeyaay people?
Well, there are many different ways that I think this kind of research is important. On the one hand, it can serve as kind of a manual for a lot of the younger people from the tribal communities who have maybe left their communities to go work or go to school in town or somewhere along the way. Many of the younger tribal folks have kind of lost this connection with the land and the plants. So I think the fact of putting it into a book and not just telling about, you know, well, this plant is used in this way, but about the people who carry on the traditions and how it's part of a much larger relationship and philosophy about how humans interact with the environment. I think all of that can be really important. But I'd also like to mention that some of the proceeds from the book are going toward a scholarship program for native Baja Californians and also to support the Tecate Community Museum, which has a special program related to telling the story of Kumeyaay history in that area and working with local tribes.
I've been speaking with Michael Wilkin Robertson, who will be speaking about his book, Kumeyaay Ethnobotany, Shared Heritage of the Californias, tonight at the Bonita Museum and Cultural Center. And I want to thank you very much, Mike, for coming in.
Thank you, Maureen. It's been great.